welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Eagerly sitting in anticipation. I like X marks the spot, and that's where I'm going to put it. What a wonderful day today to be alive in God. I love saying that. I love saying it to myself. And we're just going to have a look at a few things. I'll give you a small clue as to what I'm going to talk about today. And part of it is in the theme of Your Kingdom Come. And have you seen the advert, which normally comes round about Christmas time, of a woman walking by and handing out chocolates, and someone says, "Ambassador, you're spoiling us." I'm not going to talk about Ferrero Rocher, but I'm going to talk about being an ambassador. Is it shining off my head a little bit? I'm going to talk about being an ambassador in the kingdom. What that looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like, and what that does to bring God's kingdom forward and enhance it. Yesterday was a fantastic time that we had at the house with the baptism candidates. It was brilliant just to hear what the gospel says about, you know, dying and coming to life. And we just look forward to that next week. We can't big that up enough. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, which should appear behind me there, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Okay, so what is an ambassador? What does an ambassador look like? What does he do? In the real world, the one we're living in, an ambassador is a person who stands for someone else. An ambassador is an official. You can call them an envoy. He represents another sovereign. He provides a link between one place and another, between one culture and another. He represents a country. So in real terms, we can have an ambassador which will be sent to any part of the world, and that represents us sending part of ourselves, part of Britain, part of the UK, or whatever you want to call it. An ambassador is appointed on behalf of a leadership, on behalf of a country, on behalf of the president, on behalf of the prime minister. The ambassador is sent with permission to stand on ground, which then becomes a place called an embassy. So it is a place that has been appointed that he can have as his rightful place in another country. And he represents that. So he is given authority to speak on behalf of the president or on behalf of the country. So we have ambassadors abroad. Back in Roman times, the Roman rule was of two different types, two different areas, if you like. One was senatorial, so senates ruled, and another province was imperial. There were two rules. The senatorial rule in the Roman life was quite peaceful. It was dominated by Roman rule, so people came under that rule. They were quite submissive to that rule. They accepted the authority of Roman rule, and therefore they were quite happy to be under the rule of Roman authority. In the imperial rule, however, which was wider area than the Roman rule at the time, when they were conquering different lands and different places, the imperial rule was a little bit more perilous, shall we say. No peace, factions fighting, people trying to take back land that the Romans were trying to dominate and to take. And on that occasion, the emperor would therefore send an ambassador. He would send someone who would be delegated, someone given authority, someone given permission, someone given the right to do exactly as the emperor had done back in Rome. So he was establishing his authority in a foreign land. And he was given that right by the emperor. And he was there to govern and to maintain peace. That was his primary role. He would govern from a Roman point of view. So everything that he spoke, everything that he said, in the sense of where I am, what we're doing, where we're going. I am an ambassador of the Roman rule of the emperor. So that's just to put a little bit into context what an ambassador looks like and why Paul talks about us being ambassadors for Christ. Every believer is called into ministry, not just certain people who are paid to do a certain job. They may be ministers, they may be vicars, they may be all sorts of different types of people. Not just necessarily people who do Sunday school, not necessarily people who lead youth groups, but everybody is called to be into ministry. And part of that ministry is being an ambassador. Part of that rule that God wants us to have, part of that behavior that God wants us to have is ambassadorial. Fantastic. I've been looking at this for quite a while, and some of the long words are very long. But an ambassadorial person, somebody who has the concept that they are not here for themselves. So, this is one of my favorite verses. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal to the people, to others, through us. Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this, is not writing this to a group of students. He's not writing this to a group of graduates, to a university college. He's not speaking this to a group of people who are in managerial positions. Who's he speaking it to? To us. He's speaking it to us. He's speaking it to the fabricator of steel. He's speaking it to the refuse collector. He's speaking it to the baker, to the butcher, to the candlestick maker, to Norton the photographer. He's speaking to every one of us, even if you are a graduate, even if you are at university. He's speaking to us. Paul knows that it's not sitting in a classroom, in a sense, that does this. He's looking at people's lives. Everyone, everywhere, is an ambassador. All the time. So, the political role of an ambassador, the job of an ambassador is to represent someone or something. Everything he or she does and says must intentionally, that's purposefully, represent a leader who is not physically present. So that is what an ambassador would do in another country. And that is what God is requiring from each one of us, to represent that our actions and our words, our intentions are for someone who is not present. So we are bringing a message, we're bringing a lifestyle, we're bringing words, we're bringing everything about ourselves is speaking about the King. An ambassador is not limited to 40 hours work a week. So you do your 40 hours work and then you go, that's it, I've finished, I've done my bit, I'm clocking off. An ambassador's role does not just start or even stop when there's an international crisis. It doesn't start or stop for certain state events or certain occasions that he has to attend. He doesn't clock off and say, that's me, I was ambassador 10 minutes ago, but I'm not now. So when you realize that every word, every action, every move, every intention is being watched, your behavior has to line up with that of which you proclaim. An ambassador's life, when he's walking around, he is an ambassador. When he's asleep, he's an ambassador. When he goes down Tesco's, he's an ambassador. When he's wearing his pajamas, he's an ambassador. He doesn't clock off his role and say, at this point, I am no longer an ambassador. So when we become ambassadors for Christ, our lives cease to be our own. They no longer are our choice. It's no longer our plans. It's no longer our purpose that we live for. But as we know, sometimes we don't always want to act like an ambassador. Sometimes we want to clock off a little bit. Sometimes we want a little bit of our own time. Lord, just give me a little bit for me. I was always amazed when Corrie, our daughter, was at home, when she was studying for exams and studying for college and all sorts of things. She would come downstairs and I'd say, what are you doing tonight? She'd say, I'm going off and I'm going to go and do some study. I'd say, right, okay. What time? Well, probably about 7:30, I'll go up and I'll do some study. And then probably about 8:00, I'd knock on the door and say, how's it going? And she'd say, I'm just having a little bit of me time. Right, okay. So then I would pop back again at 8:30 just to see how she's going. She'd say, I'm just having a little bit more me time and then I'll get on with it. I'll get on with the study. I was amazed at how long the me time lasted and how long it can kind of drift into the next thing where things suddenly take over. Things suddenly become more, oh, study? Watching a DVD? Study? No, it's not happening. Norton's done it. Yeah. So that's where I know that it can be an issue. And we all know that living in a world, a real world, because this is Earth, this is a real world, this is a place we're standing on. Some days we would rather be an ambassador for our own lives. Some days, ouch, I heard myself say. Some days living to the high standard that Paul talks about sometimes is a little bit prickly. Sometimes it's a little bit, ooh, ouch. And if we're honest, we don't always want to just do what he says all the time. We'd like a little bit of me time. But let me show you something. If I take off, which is quite difficult because everything just disappears. Now, I have a lazy left eye. Now, that is what is known as, I was allegedly born with it. And what happens is, it doesn't matter what you look at, your brain still tells you that what you're looking at is blurred. And when you're younger, you're supposed to have kind of patches on, and you're supposed to train that eye to look better, to be forced to work more. And if you don't do that, you find you end up with a lazy left eye a little bit later on in life. So this one is just glass, and this one is varifocal. And sometimes our vision can be a little bit lazy left eye. It can be a little bit, it needs to be trained a bit. And sometimes we rely on this other side, which is quite easy to do, quite easy to slip back into. But God's saying, no, I want you to really focus, really kind of get in there and really kind of see. Now, what they do, and they give you some glasses, and they kind of say that we can't kind of adjust this one, because if you adjust this one, you see two. So if you just have an image if you take that prescription and you make it the same strength it should be to make your eye work, you'll see two of everything, which is not good when you're driving. So what they do is they downgrade that side so that this side takes all the effort and all the work, and this side kind of just sits there. So it kind of just rolls around and looks pretty. Now, where am I going with this? God's asking the same. Sometimes it's easy for us to kind of just let it just go. Just think it's too much effort, it's too much hard work, it's too much, like, this is painful, this is hurting. God, you're doing something really prickly here, really. And as an ambassador, I'm called to live at a higher level, on a higher road. And when you realize that you're being looked at all the time, as a Christian, as an ambassador, you're being watched. No matter when that is. People are always watching you. They're always looking at you. Some of them are looking at you through different types of eyes. But one person that is looking at you, and he won't use these. He won't use spectacles to look at you. Nor will he use these. Now, these, believe you or not, these, funny enough, I've got to put my glasses on to switch them on. I'm not saying my eyes are that bad. But there we go. Now, these, believe it or not, are 30 times the strength and the power of these ones. So you can have a look. So this is what certain people use, jewelry and all sorts of stuff. And they can see, wow, I can actually see the print, the paper, actually how it's made. Now, what I'm saying is that God doesn't look at you through a little pair of spectacles. God looks at you through ones that are super powerful, super strong, and he can see everything. He knows when we're having it tough. He knows when we're not in the right place. But God doesn't just want to come and look at us, you know, and go, ooh, look at that. He wants to encourage us to continue to lift us up, build us up, encourage us to stand on that high calling that he's called us with. He doesn't want us to be lazy. He doesn't want us to see things even through this one. He wants us to see things through this. But when God comes and looks at us, he's not looking at us. And others aren't looking at us through these. They're looking at us through these. They're scrutinizing us. They're looking at what makes our life different. Why are you an ambassador for Christ? Why is your life different? Why do you proclaim this King? Why would you give your life up and follow someone who's not here, who I can't see? Why is he letting you speak? Because he's called you to stand on ground, holy ground, that he's died for. And he wants you to be his voice. He wants you to be an ambassador for him. That's the way he's purposed it. That's the way he wants it. And that's the way we've got to do it. So one way that I believe the Lord can help us in this is for us to see that in, you won't see this behind, but in John 17:14, it says, we live in this world, but we're not of the world. Now, as an ambassador, he lives in the world, and he lives in a foreign country. He'll live in a foreign place. He lives in an embassy or some place that is a foreign land, not his homeland. And he'll stand on that ground and he will live in that foreign place as he was living in his own country. Now, as Christians, and Paul understood this, because he said, neither am I from any land round here. I'm now God's. So I'm from a different planet altogether. So as an ambassador, he said, I've not come here to proclaim someone's another country's rule. I've come here to proclaim God's rule, to proclaim God's situations, God's ideals, God's perfection, God's truth. But he said the one thing that helps him is the fact that he knows that he's an alien in this world. That he is born of God now, which means he's owned by someone else, owned by the King, owned by God. And even Jesus, when he prayed, said, don't take these disciples out of the world. Let them change it. Let them change it with the power that they've got within them, the power and what they've learnt from me and through the Holy Spirit, you know. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the Holy One. Allowing our light to shine. The ambassador, when he's walking around, knows that he is on show. And he knows that he has a role to do. And he knows that he cannot just have a day off. He knows he cannot just have a bad moment. He knows that he can't say something that he may think ought to be said. He knows he needs to speak that which is of the delegate or the person that he's proclaiming. And we have the same obligations. We have the same standards. We're not of this world, but we live in it. And we need to let our light shine in the darkness. God's put light in us through himself, through Jesus. And he wants to shine out of us. So wherever we walk, wherever we go, wherever we talk, whatever we say, whoever to, he wants us to shine. He wants our lives to have a purpose. So, an ambassador can stand up tall. And funnily enough, if you look at the word ambassador in the original, in Latin, from the word abactus, it means servant. So an ambassador is a servant. He is a servant of another authority. And we are servants. You know, we're called servants. Not just servants, he calls us friends as well. He said, you're not just a servant, but I love you and I've died for you, and you're mine. So your kingdom come, Father. That's what Paul says. That's what Paul is saying. That's what ambassadors are saying. Ambassadors are saying that your rule will come in this area, this embassy. But we're saying, your kingdom come, Lord, in this land, because this land is owned by you. This land has been purchased by you. This place is yours, Father. So your kingdom can come. If we seek first your kingdom, Father. And in Matthew 6:33, it says, if we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us as well. We need to seek first God's kingdom in everything that we do. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we'd like to think it was difficult. Sometimes we'd like to give ourselves an excuse as to why it's so difficult. But God has given us every reason why it's not difficult, why he can help us to do it. So what does this look like? If I just give you a little example, what would an ambassador do? Well, at work on Friday, we have quite a few cleaners that come in and clean, and they clean the canteens, they clean the toilets, they clean generally the areas that people make a mess. Our place is an engineering company, so you can understand the mess that goes on there. 50 men in the shop, and then we have over 140 who are probably make up site workers and all different people. They all come in at different times. And as you know, if one person does one thing, it tends to happen that someone will also copy that. Bearing in mind, they can use the canteen as much as they like. One person will have their dinner and they will leave their plate on the side. We have dishwashers. We have people who will put that in there for you if you ask them. But by the end of the day, you will have 50 plates on the side that all need washing because one person's done it, so they all do it. They'll all follow that. They'll all copy that. They'll all say, oh, well, if they've done it, then, I can do it. It reminds me of the story of a guy that was parked on a double yellow line and got kind of pulled up by the police, and a car pulled up behind him. And just as he was pulling up behind him, the traffic warden kind of come around the corner, and the police kind of drove off and said, we'll leave it to the traffic warden. And the traffic warden walked up and said to the guy in the first car, here's your ticket, because you parked on double yellow lines. So the guy was kind of like, brilliant, thanks. Thought you'd give me a little bit of grace. And then they went back, went to the car behind and gave him a ticket. And he said, hold on a minute. What are you giving me a ticket for? He said, I was only following what he'd done. But that can be sometimes the mentality that we can have. I saw them do it, and I thought it was all right to do myself. But no, he got a ticket, and you're going to get a ticket. So anyway, go back to this story. We had 50 plates on the side. We had hundreds of forks, hundreds of mess, bins overflowing. What would an ambassador do in that situation? An ambassador for Christ who was going to walk by this 10 times a day, what would he do? An ambassador, would he go up to somebody and say, that's your job. You do that. You put all them in there. I don't care what you say, you're getting paid for it. It's your job. Get them in that washing machine, get them in that thing, get all the stuff in there, get it done, and let's have them all washed. He may do. But an ambassador for Christ will wash them pots himself. So I did. Now, I'm not saying that because it makes me look good. What I'm saying is, there's a principle. I did it. I washed them all. In fact, I washed everything. I washed the floors. I spent all afternoon. I got paid. The same as I did if I was working. But I went in and I washed everything. And you know what? Everybody that walked in kind of went, oh, I'm glad someone's done that. And I thought, what? So anyway, I got some signs made up. And I put some signs on that says, if you have something to eat on a plate, can you please wash your plate afterwards? If you don't, your plate will be put in the bin and no more cutlery and plates will be provided. On Saturday morning, we had no plates on the side. All were washed, all were put away. Simple, but effective. It works. Now, that's what an ambassador would do. Daniel's laughing. Because he stands up for peace. He'll stand He'll make a stand first, because an ambassador won't expect someone to do something he's not going to do himself, and he's not quite prepared to do himself. I'm going to stand there and I'm going to say, I'll do this. It's not a problem. I'll do it. And if I had to do it again on Saturday and on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday for weeks and weeks until they got it, I would do it. But they got it quite quick, which is thankfully for me, quite good. I don't mind wearing marigolds, but it's not the best thing when you're working anywhere at work. So these situations are happening all the time. Things that we can walk by, things that we can say, that's somebody else's job, that's somebody else's role. But it's not. We're part of a body. We're part of God's kingdom. We all are significant. We're all strategic, dynamic, significantly important. We are all part of the body. We all have a part to play. As an ambassador, we all have a part to play because we're all a part in it. If we seek God's kingdom first as an ambassador, then it won't be a problem. God is good all the time. God is encouraging you this morning, I believe, because he wants you to live up to that high calling. He knows you can because he's already paid the price for it. So he knows you can reach that high calling. He knows what an ambassador can do when you stand up and you stand tall for what you believe. And part of that ambassadorial role is bringing peace. He's bringing peace where there's to reconcile people to God. It's bringing life. It's bringing God's love. As an ambassador, you are proclaiming what the King's rule is all about. And the King's rule is all about life and love and importance, significance, that the people out there who don't know our God, don't know the kingdom, don't know the life that they can have, don't know that the hope that they're looking for is in our God. That they can get trapped in situations. They can get trapped in ideas. They can get trapped in the world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. And therefore, we can show them a better way. We can show them the way. We can show them Yahweh. So, wow, really quick, isn't it? I was enjoying myself for a minute there. Okay, I believe the Lord kind of, he's been challenging me quite a lot on this, and kind of, I'd actually wrote a card out down there, and it said, "Thank you, Lord, for a fantastic week in 7 days of awfulness." Same as Sue was saying earlier. What's Sue? Liz. She's gone. It's one of those things. I think when you're going to say something like this, you've got to go through this yourself first. And I've been through the ringer on this one. You remember the old-fashioned mangles? You know, things you stick your clothes in. Some of us won't, because we're too young. But others, you've seen pictures on the internet. But sometimes you feel like the Lord is really taking you through the ringer, I used to call it, mangle, and squeezing every little bit of you out, getting it out the way, getting it gone, you know, so that he can put what he wants back in to you. And it's been one of those weeks where you know that God's been carrying you through. Work has been a pain, as work can be sometimes. We all have to do it. I always say that I have to do it. I don't have to enjoy it. But I'm starting to enjoy it more than I used to. But anyway, so if you wouldn't mind just standing for a moment, I believe that God is speaking to you also about a higher calling, about an ambassadorial role, and seeing yourself as an ambassador, seeing yourself as someone. You're not standing on a high position. You're not standing on a self-opinionated, self-righteous box. You've been elevated by God. You've been elevated by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He has given you what you need to be the head and not the tail. He's given you what you need to stand tall, to lift your head up high and say, yes, I am a Christian. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of that because it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed of that. So I'm going to stand up as an ambassador and say and proclaim that he is the king on this earth, on this land. Not just certain places, because his kingdom and his rule is advancing day in, day out. And Father, we just want to thank you for that. So I just want you to, if you would, just close your eyes just for a moment. And just see yourself on a high place. Father, we want to seek your kingdom first. Father, we want to put you first in everything that we do. Father, we want you to be exalted. We want you to be glorified. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Father, thank you that you've chosen to use us. You've chosen to give us a role, a position in your kingdom to proclaim, to stand up and to say, yes, this is my God's land, this is my God, and this is what he looks like. This is what he does. This is what he is. Everything about my language, everything about my action, everything about what I am. Everything about me is about you, Lord, today. Father, if we have areas that aren't proclaiming that, then we've heard that forgiveness is always there. And it's as simple as saying, Father, forgive me. And it's dealt with. We're just, honestly, Father, we come before you this morning and we say, Father, forgive us for any area where our lives do not line up with yours. Any areas where we've allowed ourselves to slip, to stumble, sometimes to fall. But Father, thank you that you never, ever leave us or forsake us there. You love us too much to let us stay there. Thank you that no matter what we do, we cannot get away from how much you love us and how much you care for us and what you've done for us. So Father, we seek you first. We thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory. We want to stand on holy ground, proclaiming that you are Lord, you are sovereign. You rule this land, Lord, and let your kingdom advance. Thank you, Father, that in your kingdom there is no condemnation. In your kingdom there is no strife, no worry, no stress, no fear. No distress, No dis-ease. Father, in your kingdom and in your rule as an ambassador, we proclaim that there is life, and life in all its fullness, Father. Life in all its fullness, yes. Life in abundance, Father. Yes, thank you, Lord. Let us start to proclaim that over this place and over this land, over our life. Yeah. You just want to proclaim that? In order to proclaim that, you might have to say a few words over your life. Speak over your life and over this land. That, Father, thank you that you have called me to be an ambassador. You've called me to stand up tall. You've called me to live a life which is of a higher calling, of a higher place, a higher standing than others in this world. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, you've entrusted a life to me today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You only have good for me today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, if you just want to lift your hands, which is a sign of surrender, a sign of worship, but a sign of surrender to the Lord, to His rule, His kingdom, His dominion. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We place our lives into your hands today so that your kingdom will come and it will be done today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive from the Lord right now what you need, what you need. Receive right now a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit into your life. Receive that from the Father. You just got to ask for it. If you want wisdom, ask for it. God wants to give you everything that you need today to live that high calling, to live on that high place. Just draw from Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.